From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston.
We're all waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And there's never any communication to tell us that, no, really, your bus is going to be coming a half an hour later than we ever told you it would.
That was Eileen DiBenedetto from Worcester expressing her frustration with late school buses in her district. And she is not alone. School buses all over the state, including Boston, have historically struggled with on-time arrivals, throwing off parents' work schedules and hurting school attendance. If you're a frustrated parent like Eileen who wants to know what's going on, WBUR education reporter Carrie Young has got some answers for you, and she joins us now. Carrie, it is so good to have you back. How you doing?
I am good today, Darryl. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so listen. It's as if school districts weren't already dealing with enough. School buses are late picking up students. You know, what kind of impact is this having on families? And we just heard from Eileen earlier. What else are you hearing from parents and students?
Yeah, so Eileen was great from the parent perspective. She, you know, it's like you need to get to work in the morning, but you need to get your kid to school safely first. But then there's a lot of stress, especially in the afternoon, waiting to see when they're coming back. But, you know, from the student perspective, I talked to several students on a bus recently about what their experience was. And one of them was Simon Restrepo, also from Worcester. And he said, you know, the late buses meant that he was getting to first period late a lot.
And it was kind of affecting my attendance and even my grades because I wasn't learning all the material fully. So it's definitely a bit of a struggle beforehand.
Simon is reminding us that attendance is a huge part of academic success. What's going on here? I know there's a massive school bus driver shortage that you mentioned, but is this just a labor issue or are there other factors at play here?
You know, I would say there's other factors at play here for sure. And the more I started looking into this story, I found that there is a lot of frustration around the fact that here in Massachusetts, there just aren't a ton of companies around anymore to provide these services. To back up a little bit, I think a lot of people might be wondering, like, wait, doesn't my school district provide the transportation services? And no, actually, most districts in Massachusetts outsource their school bus driving. That's for a number of reasons. There's safety concerns, regulations, a whole lot of stuff to keep up with. And so I think logically, once I understood that, it made sense that there are outside companies doing this. But since the 70s and 80s, there has been a significant drop-off in the number of companies that are providing these services. And now a lot of districts that I talked to were telling me, you know, lately when we put our contracts out to bid for transportation services, they used to get 2-3 companies saying, hey, I'm interested, here's my quote. And these days, they get one. They're lucky if they get two. And so I was wondering, is this just the handful of districts that I talked to? And Glenn Kucher with the Massachusetts Association of School Committees recently told me, no, this is definitely a statewide issue.
Any district that went out to bid would be lucky to get a single bid that they liked and certainly would be extraordinarily lucky and rare if they get more than one bidder.
So I'm hearing a lot of things going on at once, but do we know why exactly this is happening? You know, why are districts just getting like one bid for these school transportation contracts?
Well, I think there is a lot to it for sure. I think all of the answers to these questions are complicated, but you know, what I can say for sure is that there just used to be a lot more contractors around to be bidding on these contracts, especially in the 70s and 80s. And here's how Pam Riepold from the industry group School Transportation Association of Massachusetts describes kind of how that attrition has happened.
So we were all really just a whole bunch of mom and pops and just natural attrition, you know, survival of the fittest, the bigger companies coming in and either underbidding or buying out the littler companies.
So I also asked around to see if this was just a Massachusetts unique thing or if other states were dealing with this too. And, you know, I called up Elika Yost with the Association of School Business Officials International. And she said, yeah, this is definitely something other states were dealing with. And she said, there are factors like increased safety regulations over the years just made it harder for smaller contractors to keep up. But she said there are also some business practices at play that have quickened that attrition too. This is how she described what she's seen sometimes.
And if they compete, they'll very much underprice it the first couple years of your contract. And then once you're on the contract, you're kind of hooked unless you got some resources to get out of it.
Mm. So she actually kind of compared that to kind of how your cable company or your cell phone provider gives you a lower introductory rate and then bumps the price up later. That's sort of the pattern she's seen too among school bus contractors, especially among some of the bigger ones.
Mm, that is not a good comparison at all. I know few people who like their cable or phone providers. Now, you also found that some districts have taken matters into their own hands, you know, offering alternative ways for kids to get to school. And then you also found that Worcester took a much bigger step. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so Worcester decided, they for a long time had been very unhappy with their vendor, just customer service issues, weren't able to get through to see where buses were, the list goes on. But suffice it to say, they researched it for a couple of years and decided, we're going to try to do this in-house. They were already doing some of the things in-house, like they had a Worcester Public School official doing routing. They were doing athletic transportation, and they thought, you know, we're going to make the rest of the leap and do it ourselves. And so there were still a couple of things that they had to do, like they had to buy space for a bus yard, bus maintenance, and that kind of thing. But they took the leap, and this is the first year, this school year, that they are running the buses in-house. And they say, so far, things have been pretty good. The launch has been pretty smooth. They have had better on-time arrival in the morning for their buses. In the afternoons, they will admit, and students told me too, they were quick to tell me, that the afternoon they still struggle with being on time. But in the morning, things are a lot better. And they feel like it was a good decision and a good investment.
Okay, now, is there any chance we'll see an initiative like this in more districts?
Well, that depends on who you ask. Pam Riopold, who's with that industry group, School Transportation Association of Massachusetts, says a resounding no.
Occasionally, a school district will try. Often, they'll go, oh, wow, that was a lot more difficult than we thought. And I say to my people all the time, and even to my school districts, I'm like, we just make it look easy. Y'all don't realize what's going on behind the scenes to pull off what we're managing to pull off.
But if you ask the transportation officials in Worcester, they say that they're actually regularly in contact with a variety of other districts who are interested in potentially making a similar leap themselves. And these are smaller districts, larger districts. And so I would say maybe we'll have to wait and see. But there's definitely an interest among more districts to take a similar leap.
Mm. Okay. And I just have one more question. As we've been discussing this, one thing keeps bugging me, right? Why not make it public? You know, you mentioned some of the complexities and the infrastructure needs that come along with school transportation. Who better to deal with that than a public agency, you know, than the municipality itself, right? Why aren't more cities and towns taking on this service?
Well, I think, you know, I thought a similar thing too. It really surprised me when I found out that the majority of districts in Massachusetts outsource. But the more I talked to people, the more I found out that providing transportation, routing, changing the routes when people move, all of that is just really, really complicated. And it requires, you know, devoted resources to make it work well. And, you know, some districts definitely have the funding to be able to support that. Others don't. There are other things that, you know, officials have explored. In Boston, for example, a lot of students take the T to get to school, but mm-hmm. there is a state regulation that says public or regional transportation authorities can't drop students off in front of school. They can drop them off at a stop nearby, kind of like how the T does here in Boston, but they can't actually go in front of, or they can't have a stop at the school or dedicated to the school. And so I think just between this maze of regulations, both federal and state, but then also funding to be able to pull off transportation within a district, it's just not going to be possible for every district, especially the smaller districts.
And is there any way, you know, the state can step in and deal with this?
Well, the state has definitely looked at making school transportation more efficient. Just before the pandemic, early in 2020, there was a legislative commission report that came out with several recommendations of things that might make things a little bit better. And then the pandemic hit right after that. So nothing really came of that. But I did hear from one state legislator who told me that in the next legislative session, that's going to change. And they do hope to address some of the recommendations that they made and some of the other issues that have cropped up since then.
I guess we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Carrie, this has truly been a pleasure. And I'm fascinated. Thank you so much for this story and coming through and sharing it with us.
Thanks, Daryl. I'm always happy to nerd out about education policy with you.
Oh, yeah. That's WBUR education reporter Carrie Young. And that's all for today. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Do you want to feel more connected to your community? If so, you should check out Radio Boston, WBUR's local daily news magazine where the town hall meets the kitchen table. Radio Boston is a great way to stay connected to what's happening in our city and our region 5 days a week. Just search for Radio Boston on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.